Proverbs chapter 19.
If you quit listening, better to be poor and honest than a rich person no one can trust. Ignorant zeal is worthless. Haste makes waste. People ruin their lives by their own stupidity. So why does God always get blamed? Wealth attracts friends as honey draws flies, but poor people are avoided like a plague. Perjury won't go unpunished. Would you let a liar go free? Lots of people flock around a generous person. Everyone's a friend to a philanthropist. When you're down on your luck, even your family avoids you. Yes, even your best friends wish you'd get lost. If they see you come in, they look the other way. Out of sight, out of mind. Grow a wise heart, you'll do yourself a favour. Keep a clear head, you'll find a good life. The person who tells lies gets caught. The person who spreads rumours is ruined. Blockheads shouldn't live on easy street, any more than workers should give orders to their boss. Smart people know how to hold their tongue. Their grandeur is to forgive and forget. Mean-tempered leaders are like mad dogs. The good-natured are like fresh morning dew. A parent who is worn to a frazzle by a stupid child, a nagging spouse is a leaky faucet. House and land are handed down from parents, but a congenial spouse comes straight from God. Life collapses on loafers. Lazy bones go hungry. Keep the rules and keep your life. Careless living kills. Mercy to the needy is a loan to God, and God pays back those loans in full. Discipline your children while you still have the chance. Indulging them destroys them. Let angry people endure the backlash of their own anger. If you try to make it better, you'll only make it worse. Take good counsel and accept correction. That's the way to live wisely and well. We humans keep brainstorming options and plans, but God's purpose prevails. It's only human who want to make a buck, but it's better to be poor than a liar. Fear of God is life itself. A full life and serene, no nasty surprises. Some people dig a fork into the pie, but are too lazy to raise it to their mouth. Punish the insolent, make an example of them. Who knows, somebody might learn a good lesson. Kids who lash out against their parents are an embarrassment and disgrace. If you quit listening, dear child, and strike off your own, you'll soon be out of your depth. An unprincipled witness desecrates justice. The mouths of the wicked spew malice. The irreverent have to learn reverence the hard way. Only a slap in the face brings fools to attention.
There's actually so much in this proverb, chapter 19. You could spend a long time there. For those of you that like football, you know that on a Saturday night at around 10:20 is what's called Match of the Day, and it follows the news. And towards the end of the news, they actually give out the football results, and the person presenting the news will always say, "Football results, if you don't want to know what they are, please leave the room now." I probably should have said that before we got to verse 13, for all you ladies, where there's that lovely verse about a nagging wife. Not that would apply to any of you, I guess, but I won't turn around at this point because I might get something over my head. We'll come to that in a moment. Let's look at verse 3. Very important question in verse 3. Why does God always get blamed? Why does God always get blamed? In my office in school, I have a few photos there, and one of the photos goes back to almost 15, 16 years, actually. It's of a group of lads, and if I just say they weren't model students, they weren't the best behaved. In fact, they got up to quite a lot of mischief in school. But there was one of the lads in particular that when he was found out, he would always own up. Most of the other lads would try and look for an excuse, but this one lad would say, "Yeah, it was me, and whatever the punishment is, I'll just take it." And I quite liked the lad, not the way that he used to misbehave, but the fact that he would own up. and he wouldn't try to blame anyone else. These days, people are always looking for a scapegoat, always looking to blame someone else when something goes wrong. Verse 3 says, people ruin their lives by their own stupidity, so why does God always get the blame? There's a story in the Old Testament of King David. And on this particular occasion, he went from hero to villain to hero. And what had happened is that they'd been out on a mission. But when they got back, a raiding party had been into the camp and had taken all their riches, but also their wives. And it says here, in 1 Samuel 30, David and his men burst out in loud wails. They wept and wept until they were exhausted with weeping. David's wives were taken away and had been taken prisoners along with the rest. And suddenly it says David was in even worse trouble. There was talk among the men, bitter over the loss of their families, of stoning him. So David faced many problems. He'd been a hero, he'd achieved a lot, many victories, but on this occasion, as I just said, they were out on a raid, out on a, taking other land, and then a raiding party came in and destroyed their camp, taking their wives captive. And the people were so aggrieved with David that they wanted to kill him, they wanted to stone him. And in the midst of that difficult situation, it says, David strengthened himself with his trust in God. David strengthened himself with his trust in God. The majority of times when things go wrong, it's probably down to our mistakes, probably down to our sinfulness. And I wonder whether we, like that boy that I mentioned at school, when we do get it wrong, can we put our hand up and say, God, sorry, it was me. It was my selfishness. It was my mistake. Or do we look to blame someone else? Or do we look even to blame God when things go wrong? Even on those occasions when people say it's down to nature, that nature's caused a disaster like a tsunami or a volcano erupted, people call it an act of God. It's not really an act of God, because all God's acts are acts of kindness motivated by love towards us. Even when God has to discipline us, that's motivated by the fact that God loves us. So God is not to blame for the mess that we may find ourselves in as a nation. There might be those at this time that would blame God for what is happening to our nation. If your God is so loving, why has he allowed this terrible virus, this pandemic, to hit our world? Why are so many people dying? If you are God, it's God's fault. But we know that it's not God's fault. It's the fall of man and the fall of creation that have brought sin into the world. But people are always looking to blame God. And we must make sure that we don't fall into our category. Whatever befalls us, whatever is ahead of us, good times, bad times, difficult times, God is not the one to blame. In fact, in all our difficult times, God is right there with us, showing us how to come through the tough times. As it says with David, David strengthened himself with trust in his God. He didn't blame God that the people around him wanted to kill him. He put his trust in God. So whatever situation we're in, particularly if it's a tough one, don't blame God for that. Recognize that God is there in the mess, wanting to bring us out, wanting to bring us through. And as we place our trust in him as a nation, he will bring us through this. And whatever we face as individuals, as we place our trust in God, he will bring us through. So here we go, just to mention verse 13. A nagging spouse is like a leaky faucet, or the NIV says, a quarrelsome wife is like the constant dripping of a leaky roof. Be pleased to know I'm not going to say too much about this, partly because he returns to this theme in one or two other chapters, so I'll have a good go at that when we come to the other where the other chapters. You'll be pleased to know that we'll, as I say, we'll look at that a bit more deeper in a different chapter. Just to say two quick things, again, hope Sean doesn't throw anything at me, but just to say, if the cap fits, wear it. Or better still, get rid of the cap and get rid of the nagging, because nagging doesn't achieve anything. And just also say, men can nag as well. It's not just women that nag. Men can nag as well, but it really doesn't achieve anything. In fact, it just pulls people down and can turn soft hearts to hard hearts. So we just need to be careful. And then a couple of reminders again that Solomon tells us towards the end. We humans keep brainstorming options and plans, but it's God's purpose that prevails. And that's what we want to pray at this time for our nation and in our lives, that God's purpose will at all times prevail. And then just to finish this morning, again, I like the pictures that Solomon paints for us. There's a warning against laziness. And it says, some people dig a fork into the pie, but are too lazy to raise it to their mouth. That just causes me to smile in one sense, but there's a point to it that we need to be active, we need to be energized, we need to be seeking God's face for our walk with him each day, but particularly for our nation at this time. With all the restrictions, you know, there's a danger to overindulge in watching TV or whatever it might be. We need at this time not to be lazy, but to be active in seeking God's face for what the next stage is for us as individuals and for us as a nation.